For other considerations regarding this topic, see my article, RJMI's Position as Sole Ruler of the Catholic Church. This lecture was done on 3/9/2025, the first Lord's Day in Lent.
Sister Rina said, not Hungarian anymore.
I'm Hungarian sometimes, Jewish some other times. Depends who I'm talking to. If they got a bad impression about Jews overall, I say I'm Hungarian. And then I explain to them about the Jews. Not all Jews are evil. You look at them today. The Jews gave Jews a bad name, and nominal Catholics give Catholics a bad name. Right? Isn't it the same thing? Religiously, because nominal Catholics give Catholics a bad name. Catholics have a bad name today. I mean, technically speaking, when the world looks at these Catholics and go, if that's what the Catholic Church is, I ain't going near it. I'm not going near it. Here they come. Hey, we got to get a picture of the whole... Brother Ryan, did you get a picture of the whole thing completed?
Not yet. I did.
Wow, he had his... what do you call it? The trailer? The fruit trailer? Unbelievable piece of work. I mean, it's steel. It's got metal. He's welded. It's like solid. I mean, it's like solid. I can't believe he could do all that stuff. I was flattering him the other day. I said, is there anything you can't do? And then we watched Solomon yesterday. Solomon. And that's what they said about Solomon. Solomon, is there anything you don't know or you can't do? It's dangerous, ain't it? Because look what happened to Solomon, right? So you got a lot of talents, but don't let it go to your head, all right? That's my point. You could be smart. You can be very good. But you can fall away. And then be very bad. Something, what happens when people are very good and it goes to their head, it doesn't go to everybody's head. But if it does, they're arrogant. And, you know, they think, hey, people need me. I'm indispensable. You know, what are we going to do without Ryan? What are we going to do without Richard? Even if I fell away. Getting back to, it's true. This is God's work I did. If I fall away, someone else can use it. It's true. That's true. I would just hope you would pray for me and smack me around a little bit and really get rough on me because for my own benefit. It can happen. So then whoever's still faithful picks up the work and uses it. This work is for the church, so there's the truth behind that. But you better be careful when you start trying to replace me unless you have a good reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to have a good reason. I mean, you know, we're going to replace Richard because he rebuked me because I was selfish. He told me I was selfish, or he told me I'm stealing people's time, or he told me that you're not considerate of other people's wishes, or you're not taking counsel. That's why you're going to leave him. Well, even, like I said before, even if I said something like it wasn't true and I was a little bit overly judging wrongly, but maybe I meant well, or even if I meant well, it wouldn't be a sin, I just made a mistake, or if I was kind of malicious, maybe it's a mortal sin or a venial sin on my part. But I'm still Catholic. I'm still a leader. Yeah. Yeah. Unless you can come up against something where I'm not Catholic anyway. I fell away from the church. I became immortal against the faith.
Yeah.
Or something. I mean, really, when you think about it, you have to have a good reason. So what's the reason that Ibrani's no longer the head of the church?
You put ketchup in the lasagna.
Well, even if a true pope was in bad public mortal sin, and he's scandalizing people, it's akin to heresy is what they teach, if it's public. Like if a pope is a public fornicator, technically speaking, fornication is a sin against the morals. But if you're publicly fornicating in such a manner as to give the world the impression that that is normal, that it's not a sin, and you just keep doing it, that's heresy. Because now you technically you're painting up adultery in the church and you're condoning it somewhere. That's heresy. Because now technically what you're saying to people is adultery is not a sin. And so when you deny a moral commandment, that's heresy. When you break a moral commandment, it's immoral. And if you deny it, it's heresy. That's what I'm getting at. But anyway, we're talking about the whole thing on, I was going to do the lecture on I can do a couple things today, but that was an interesting topic anyway, like about the work And it is. I mean, I say to God, even like, if I'm not going to be the next pope, so what? Or even if I'm not the witness, I turn out to do something, I don't want to do anything wrong. Of course not. But I tell God, if I do anything wrong, if I had a choice, like, Richard, you can be the witness and the pope, but you're going to go to hell because you mess up. Or you can't, and you're going to go, like, I don't want to be the pope or the witness. I don't want to, I just want to go to heaven. Yeah. So if I'm messing up, and I blow it and ruin it, please have mercy on me. Tell me where to go. I'll hide out in the mountain, like I was in the beginning, in the monastery. When I wasn't up in the monastery with the diamonds, it was so hard to leave. Not hard to leave him. That's easy. I ran the place. He was, like, sleeping all the time. I ran the place. So I did. I followed the rule. This is what I'm getting at. But I was still in communion with the bum, which became difficult on the city of conscience position. So, but from my perspective, when I was up there, it's a beautiful life. The monastic life is beautiful, even the hermit. I don't put down all hermits. So I said to God, okay, I can't stay here, but give me a place to go in the mountain somewhere all alone, because I don't want to see another human being for the rest of my life. Yeah. Really, that's what I was saying. That's what I felt. Because basically, I was, anybody that came in here didn't stay long anyway, because of Brother Michael. They'd be out the back door. I was the one that would take them through the paces. So I said, let me just be alone in a mountain, praying, and all right, maybe give them some stuff, like, and I'll send you guys my writings, but don't talk to me, don't see me. I don't want to see nobody. And that was my mentality. That's what I really wanted. But it's not what God wanted, you know, obviously, you know. He wanted me to go out and teach, and I had to settle into that. And the hardest thing was then, too, when you leave the monastery, I had to go back out in the world and get a job again. So here I am. At first, for 6 months, I didn't get a job. I'm looking somewhere to go. Can't find nowhere to go. And so I went back and worked as an optician again. So now I'm working out in the secular world again. So I'm going from wanting to be not seeing human beings anymore. I'm back. It's like a fish out of water in the beginning. But it was a blessing. It was a multiple blessing. My point is, you can get spoiled by that kind of a life. And it's kind of like a cop-out. You know what I'm saying? It's a cop-out. And God's saying, you know you're not called to do that. Yeah. You know you taught people, you're teaching people, you're writing things. You can't hide. Yeah. It was not like a hide. I don't like the world, you know. But I do love being around good brothers. And I do love people, even evildoers. I love them. I want to convert them. So I knew that my job was getting that job as an optician is much better than staying in a monastery with an apostate piece of crap that called himself a Catholic. I was now free at least to believe what I teach, what I want to teach to me and my two neighbors, and there's no whoever wanted to hear me. So when I left, the burden of covering, you know, not speaking about Sedevacantism, you can't, because I was up there near the end, he banished me from talking to anybody. And nobody could talk to me even. So I couldn't teach anybody anything about the positions and all that. But my point is, in the end, I was much better off working as an optician than I was in the monastery. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And somebody even told Jerry Maddox that once when he was working in the Vatican II Church. He was working for one of the big seminaries, too. And he was trying to say, but they don't let me talk about the salvation dogma and other dogmas. And somebody gave him good advice and said, Jerry, if you really want to tell the truth, you can't work for these people. You got to go get a job, a secular job. Because if you're working in one of these groups, they're going to prevent you from, you know, telling the truth. And so he did give that up. And he did hold the same. He's messed up still on other topics. But eventually he did. So you move out and you come back into the world. And so I'm doing what God wanted me to do. Because really, when God inspires you to teach people, it's like a fire inside of you. You know, it's wonderful. And he gives you the grace to do it. But at that one point, I thought maybe I can just hide a little bit and write stuff and give it to somebody else and let them, you know what I mean? Like, hey, Richard's got another book he wrote. He just mailed it to me. Does anybody talk to him in a couple? No, he doesn't talk to nobody. He just mailed the book out, and you guys got to implement it. I can give it to the other guy that left. He can implement it better than me, maybe. He's a better implementer. So I came out, and I found out how wonderful it is. I mean, when you're out dealing with people, this is... So that's when I was a little stoic-y, too, by the way, when I'm talking like that. See, I want to go out. I want to talk to people. I was stoic-y in the beginning, even for a while. I had to overcome that, you know? So I saw the evils of that.
Yeah.
So God puts you where he wants you, and you do his will. So then, but then so you're able to teach. No one's holding you back. And then everybody who's tried to come along and help me, they always try to take me captive.
Yep.
Rich, when I went to a guy up here in northern New Mexico, I went down to the guy in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Yep.
And I was under his work with him, and every time you're with them, because they're the ones that you're in their home, you're on, you know, even
scripture says,
yeah, it's in the scripture, yeah, isn't it? It's in the, yeah, when you eat at another man's house,
yeah, exactly.
You live in another man's table,
yeah. Yeah.
You can't say anything because he's going to kick you out. You know, but I always eventually, you know, there are some things you do compromise too, even myself, which in the monastery I made compromises. For 6 months, I knew about the city of decomposition. I was being soft on it because of the knucklehead. So, but and I had to pay a price. So when I left, God punished me for staying there for too long. And when I left Corpus Christi, I was a little bit better. I made some mistakes down there too, but it wasn't as bad as what happened over here. So God, when you're with people and you're under their authority, if they're not right, you got to compromise because they're the ones that. You're in their place. You have no money. Basically, along this whole thing, when I went into the monastery, I gave everything up, all my money. All the money I had, I gave up, all $10. I mean, I had $10 in the bank account. Man. No, I did give everything up. I had some money. And I gave my friend John, I gave him my car. I gave him the title. He drove me to the monastery. Here's the title. Here's the car. I had about $2,000 when I went into the monastery. The diamond head rattlesnake, Michael, he take the $2,000. They put it in the account for you. You're supposed to give it back when you leave. He never did. He only gave me like maybe $700. So I said, give me the computer instead. That was a lawsuit. With the. Oh, that's another thing. If you ever looked at that. What? Yeah, basically. And I wanted the computer because it had the mailing list on it. That was the mailing list thing. But it wasn't just on the computer. I had it stuffed into my underwear, the mailing list, you know. So I says, I'm getting out of here with that mailing list. Because I promised all the people that I would teach them. They got it. I said, Mike, he was such a coward. I says, let me go out and teach the people. I laid a nuclear bomb on them for their way of thinking, and I got all the proof, and he would never. So I said, I want that mailing list, and I'm going to send out to everybody the City of Contest Position, Canon Law 1884, Cum Ex Apostas Officio, and all the teachings on loss of office and all that. And so I got the, and when I did, I sent it out to the people. When he found out I had the mailing list, oh, then goes the mailing list lawsuit. He followed me all the way over to here. It's like, where the devil, we're the church, right? The Catholic Church. And the Apocalypse says, like, the devil's trying to get Mary and, yeah. And Mary's children, and he comes after her, and then he gets swallowed up in the desert. Well, that bastard came after me down here with the lawsuit. Unbelievable how much time. I don't want to go over that now. You got to read the lawsuit thing. Yeah.
I remember even Felix wanted to, he had designs on you. He wanted to get you out in the garden, and you'd be doing the manual labor instead of your work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Felix, too. That's a guy in northern New Mexico. So, well, my point is everybody's trying to control you when they get a hold of you, and you have and you're under their they're taking care of you or supporting you, whatever. So I knew when I came down here, I said the only way this is going to work is if I have total authority, and that's why I cannot give up my financial ownership of my properties. I have to keep it in my name, nobody else. I opened up a LLC corporation. LLCs, you only need to have one person. If you open up a regular corporation, you need to have two people at least, and they have to have equal shares in the company. Well, that's democracy. It's not monarchy. You got two people. The devil can use that other people, the other people.
Yeah.
I'm one people, you got the other people. He can use that people to go against you and split the church. So then I understood, and the guy's telling me, because in the beginning I was almost going to share a couple. The guy said, don't you, it's yours, you're the owner, you're the ruler.
Yeah.
Which I was going to get the thing about why it's so necessary to have a single ruler in the church today. It's chaos if you don't.
Yeah, it's like
the Pope. Yeah, that's why I claim that authority. It's not just for myself, and it is. It's for the church.
Yeah.
It's for all of you. It's to protect all of you.
Yeah.
First of all, to protect me. And think about it. If you didn't have a single ruler in the church, and I just claimed, like, I'm the teacher in the church, but I'm not a single ruler, who's going to weed people out? Who? By what authority could people weed out the weeds among us. They can say, well, Richard, you don't have any authority when it comes to leadership. So we got this guy that believes in this heresy. We got this guy that believes in this heresy. We got this woman who's a feminist, and she watches I Dream of Jeannie and the witchcraft stuff. And I say, well, you're out of the church and get away from here because I said so. And she says to me, you ain't got no authority to tell me. And the other brother says, well, I think he's right, but I don't have any authority to tell you neither. And that's what the Diamond Brothers do. Everyone that goes to, they don't tell them, they don't check anybody if they're Catholic. Do you understand that by me being the sole ruler of the Catholic Church, it protects the church, it protects me, and it protects every one of you. And it keeps unity. And what's the big deal of pledging allegiance to me as a sole ruler? Because if I go bad, you can leave me. Look, if you leave me and I think you're wrong, but you're really right, then nothing's going to happen to you. Then I'm wrong. So if I did something really bad, and like I said just before, I hope you brothers will rise up and say, Richard, I love you. You were good all this time. You went bad. You did something really bad. Here's what you did. And if it's really true I did something bad, then you leave me. I'm no longer the sole ruler. It's not like you're locked under my authority forever. A pope is not a pope forever if he does something bad. So even if I was the pope, you're not going to give me blind obedience. You're not going to give me obedience where you're going to justify me if I'm telling you to do something sinful or I'm in heresy. But the benefit of sole rulership in the church is it keeps us united.
Yeah.
It keeps us clean.
Yeah.
There is no other way. If I didn't that's why God had rose up Moses and the judges. He always had somebody in extraordinary circumstances when there was no hand down of authority. After you had Moses, then he can delegate authority. Joshua, Moses came along, and same thing with the judges, you and John the Baptist even. And he didn't even have any miracles, and they all went to him. They went to him and ignored the Pharisees of the day, who were really bad.
You'd be like the Protestants otherwise.
Well, exactly right. Well, let's look at the logical conclusion of this. If I don't claim sole rulership, or we claim dual rulership, Will and I, or, you know, all four of us are ruling the church, that's democracy. That's the Orthodox Greek schismatic way. And then when we disagree, it's like we're voting on things, that's the Orthodox schismatic way. And then that could create a schism all over the place. Even if you just agreed on some economic, secular, political thing, or how to punish a sinner, you know, you agree they're a sinner, but you punish them too severely, I say no, now we split, the church is split up. That causes schisms and splits. So you can't have that. But the other thing is, if I'm not the sole ruler of the church, and somebody comes along and we find out they're denying a dogma, or they're an obstinate mortal sin, and they're creating chaos in the camp, what authority would I have to kick them out? Or ultimately, now they can say, oh, it's my opinion, or whatever. No, Richard, you have no jurisdiction over me. You have no right to excommunicate me. You have no right to kick me out. And one of the brothers could say, well, Richard, I think Richard is right about this. You are committing those sins. And the other person would say, but I'm a layman too, and I have no authority to kick you out. So then what are you left with?
Yeah.
You're left with a church full of people with no ultimate authority judging the church. And anybody who loves law and order and loves God's law is going to want to have a single authority ruler.
Yeah.
Natural law always looks for a single ruler. That's why democracy is so perverse. A father and a family. If the father's not the sole head of the family, you've got chaos. And again, the father's the ultimate head of the family. The wife is submissive to the husband, and the children are submissive to the husband and the wife. That's the way it works. If it doesn't work that way, it's chaos. And that doesn't mean a husband got to be obeyed in everything. If he does something sinful, you don't obey him. But you still need to have that order in the family, or all hell breaks loose. So, I mean, even goodwill people look for single authority. It makes sense. Even when you go to a corporation or a company, you got a boss, a manager. You got to obey him in something. So why not do you want to obey somebody in the church? But with the church, it's critical because I seen that right away. When I claimed that sole authority, first of all, it's not like just a claim out of nowhere. There's a verse in, he who takes authority to himself unjustly shall be hated. So there was a guy in Texas. He had, with his FBI wife,
yeah.
I remember the guy. I don't want to mention his name, he said, "How can you claim sole authority?" So I quoted that verse. I says, "He who takes authority to himself unjustly, shall be hated." We'll get to verse, and I'll remember in a second. But it's like in the Old Testament, I think. So I said, conversely, he who takes authority to himself justly, shall be loved.
Yep.
Loved by good Catholics. Hated by other people, but who cares? They don't care. We don't talk about that. They don't mean anything. And the Bible means nothing to them. So, if that's true, that means somebody could take authority to himself justly. And I can't just say it. I have to prove it. I have to show all the work I've done all these years.
Yep.
And people say, yeah, I agree. Rich did all this work. It's great. He's got all this. You think God's going to give me all this work? And it's just going to be like a democracy now? All this, I'm not going to enforce it. I'm not going to back it up. I'm not going to bind you to it after God gave me all this work. I'm going to sit back like all these dopes do in all these traditional chapels. And this is what they say. They all say it. Chicago, Sanborn, all of them. Everything I'm teaching here, I believe is true, but it's all in my opinion. I can't bind you to it. Thank you. I just read your whole thing, and you're telling me you're not even sure what you said is true, and that if it is true, I don't have to believe it. I'm telling you. I would read their stuff. They'd have like 12 pages of really good stuff on Seti Vacantism and against J.P. too. Really good. And in the end, however, I have no jurisdiction. I have no authority. I can't bind you to this. This is only all my opinion. Wow! Where does that leave me? Everything you just said could be wrong, and even if it's right, no one has to believe it. What kind of church is that?
Yeah.
I mean, at any cost, that's nothing. And that's why I was reading some of my earlier stuff on Epikaya. And this is before I claimed sole rulership, but what I said about the bishops, though. I said, all you bishops that are Seti Vacantists and you're making priests, they would make priests and they weren't under their authority because they didn't believe they had any jurisdiction to rule the priest. I said, you're making a priest. He's your son. You made him a priest, and you're letting him do what he wants? And I wrote about this. I said, any bishop that makes priests, he has to bind those priests to his authority. You can't let them just go walking out and do whatever they want after you make them a priest. You got to make sure he's a priest, and he's a Catholic priest, and he's living according to the precept. You're the one that made him the priest. And they don't do that.
Yeah.
They don't do that. They will go and even bishop. If a bishop makes a bishop, there has to be some type of it gets a little trickier with the bishop thing. So if you're going to make a priest and you're going to say, fine, you're a priest, I made you a priest, the priest goes, thank you. They were doing that with Tuck to become a priest. They would go to Tuck, who was a maniac. Tuck was an absolute heretic, a wacko, Norvasoto piece of crap, Bishop Tuck. And they say, hey, I want to be a priest. Can I get an appointment with Tuck? Yeah, he'll make you a priest. Let's go over there. Here. And then they're gone.
Yeah, even an 8-year-old or somebody real young, I heard.
Huh?
Did you hear that he made some child a priest?
He what?
Made a child a priest.
Who's that?
Tuck.
Oh, he did? I don't think that was wacky.
I don't know if it's true. I just remember hearing that.
Well, the guy's a wacko anyway. But here's my point on all of that. And you read my Epikai book, I wrote it in there. And I said, anybody who makes a bishop, I said, if you're Catholic, you could make bishops and priests. I'm not against it. Of course, it's Epikai. It does apply. You got to be Catholic. That's number one. And I said to the bishops, if you're putting people under you like priests, and you're laymen, imagine like you go to this priest, just a priest even maybe, not even a bishop, you go to his church, and everything he teaches you and he's done saying, how everything I taught you right now is my opinion, I believe it's true, I can't bind you to it because I have no jurisdiction. But think about how hypocritical that is, because when you go to confession to him, he absolves your sins. How could you do that with that Epikaya? If it wasn't for Epikai, because normally you need jurisdiction from your local ordinary. And that's another good rule in the church. If you don't have jurisdiction from your local, you can't hear confessions. It's a great rule. Because you've got a priest that's a little wacky, he can't hear confessions really good. You say, I'm taking away your power to hear confessions. So I said, okay, so I believe you can get supplied jurisdiction from God if you're Catholic to hear confessions. I agree with that. If you're Catholic. So if you can hear confessions, you're making judgments. You're not giving opinions. You're like the boss in that confessional. So this whole thing about people avoiding leadership is a monarchy. It's against monarchy. It's democracy. They're afraid to take the bull by the horns. That's why I said, I'm taking the bull by the horns. And I'm taking over this giant.
Good.
You know, bull, and I'm talking about papal bulls. I'm talking about papal bulls. I'm talking about ruling the church. I ain't fooling around here.
Yeah, good.
And if you say, well, look, if I just didn't have all these teachings and I didn't have what I went through and all the stuff I got on this website, if that's not there, fine. That's what I stand on. Remember Jesus said to the people, and they said, he says, you don't believe in me, but believe then in the works that I do. Look at the works that I do and believe in them.
Yeah.
And then believe in me. Because if God gave me all those works and you see they're really good, that way it comes back to the faith.
Yeah.
And you're saying Richard teaches all the faith good. That what's the problem for being under my authority other than the fact you don't want to be rebuked if you committed a sin?
Yeah.
Or what are you afraid of? If I unjustly rebuke somebody, I correct myself if I'm aware of it. I'm not. It's not like we're... If somebody made me aware, I've done it many times. I correct myself time and time all over again. And that's another thing they say. Is one guy even wrote, he says, the reason I trust Richard is because he corrects himself. He doesn't hide it. If he's done something wrong, he corrects himself. So I have confidence that if he has done something wrong, and I can show him the truth. And that's big. So you got all this happening, right? Suddenly you look back and you say, he's got the faith, but I don't want to be on the list. I don't want to be under his... We even have people like that. Not even the soul of thought. Some people would say, I agree, a thing you guys are teaching, but I don't want to be on the list because they're afraid that if we put them on our list, they're going to get in trouble by the government. And I said to the stupid guy, I says, you're an idiot.
Yep.
I said, Satan can hear you talking to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he hears you talking to me, Satan. You're on the list already. You're on Satan's list. He knows who you are. You're afraid of human beings, of what they're going to say and do because you're listed as a Catholic? Yeah, yeah, they're going to come after you. But you got God on your side, you dummy. Yeah. You're a coward. And I told him, because you don't trust in God, and you don't want to be what's it's because you're afraid, you're in the camp of the Antichrist, and when he comes to power, God is not going to help you. He's not helping you now even in your life. In your life, it's going to be miserable, and you're not going to overcome it because you refuse to be with good Catholics because you're a coward.
Yeah.
It's almost like saying this. I got God, God's over here, Almighty God, and here's Satan over here, the little peewee. He's on the other side, making himself look big, an illusion. And they say, take your side. Take your side. Well, Satan's powerful, you know. He knows a lot of stuff. He's not more powerful than God, okay? You want to take his side? You just lost yourself the help of God. Yes, you did. Oh, you're going to be persecuted? Yeah, that's a war you're going to be persecuted. That's what I mean about a coward. They're going to take away your possessions. They're going to split up your families. They're going to punish you, torture you, say bad things about you. That's a war. You want to be in Satan's camp? Well, I'm going to say bad things about you. I'm going to torture you. I'm going to punish you, and I'm going to be right.
Yep.
And your whole conscience is going to be in chaos. So take sides. Like the prophet Elijah said, you know, when he was with the false prophets of Baal. He said, take sides. Moses, take sides. But don't you see that soul rulership of the church is so important to keep? And I seen it, and God showed so clearly. And if I didn't do it, God would have struck me down. And he's always, because sometimes you get weak. He's, oh, I'm going to, yes, do it. You need it. You took the bull by the horns with the faith. Take the bull by the horns on this. It's like, a good example is like when there's when a locomotive is drying down and the conductor has a heart attack and the train's just going, no one's stopping it. You take the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
You get behind the wheel.
Yeah.
It's instant. It's thematic. You know what I mean? It's thematic.
Yeah.
But I tell you, you can't do that. You're not an official conductor.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy, too. Because if somebody didn't do that, the train would crash.
Oh,
get
injured. Yeah. Yeah. So train would crash. This is a true story, but it's a funny one. I always like to tell little funny stuff, but this is a funny true thing. But we were out. It was on the Delaware Bay River, I think, and we were my wife and my brother-in-law and a couple other friends were on a boat fishing. And what happened? I think they threw the anchor over, but they forgot to tie it to the boat or something. Anyway. If you had it. If you had to go take a pee or something, you would jump overboard. And so anyway, my brother-in-law, he jumps overboard, and all of a sudden the boat starts drifting, and the tide's taking him away. And we were drinking some beers and all that, you know. And his name's Joey, right? And we were going, Joey, I said, Joey's going, hello, come on, help, the boat's going. I said, everybody, what do you mean? And we all froze. At first, we all froze. Nobody knew what to do. It was weird. I went, stop, I got to get him. So I took two... I took two life raft things. I jumped in the water, and my lungs were never that good anyway. So I swam over to him, and I gave him the... He would have died.
Yeah.
And I gave him the life thing.
Yeah.
I had the life thing, and I'm just about... Even with the life thing, because my lungs aren't good.
Yeah.
So I'm going back. He goes back. And so And then what happened was the boat, somebody was on the boat trying to turn it. They turned the boat and it hit me here, and my behind went right into the propeller, which is going like that. And it ripped up my bathing suit and put a big, I went, wow. What's going on here? Bull by the horns. All right? People are drowning. They need help. They need leadership. They need rulership. If you can come and prove that I'm greedy and I do this because I want money, like some people try to pretend. Look at Brent. He wants ties. Yeah. I want ties because the church wants ties. Because that's good for the church. It's good for you. It's bad for you when you don't give them. Oh, I think he's living high in the hog. Okay, you want to come visit me?
Yeah.
Go over to my house. I'll show you what high in the hog is.
Yeah.
I got everything I need. I'm not living high in the hog. All the brothers here are living in a good circumstances. I told God in the beginning, I'd love to take care of the whole world. I'd like the whole world to be under my control. So I can have places for non-Catholics, pay for Catholics, have a Catholic rule, and take care of people. If that wasn't my way, and you saw that I didn't have those attributes to be a ruler, or a good ruler, or a very evil ruler, then don't follow me. But people who want to continue to sin and live in chaos and not be told what to do and believe whatever they want to believe, they're not going to like me. Yeah. They don't like soul rulership even from anybody. From anybody, not just me. It's anti-monarchy. Right. I bring you as a dictator.
Brother, if you didn't act the way you do, God would punish you severely.
Oh, he'd punish severely.
Exactly.
I'm dead.
He'd catch you up.
He would punish me severely. I hope he wouldn't kill me right away. But you're absolutely right. Right.
Because those kind of people
want to
be their own boss.
They want to be their own boss, but they don't want to be told what to do. And I'm just trying to impress upon the people when they come in here, when you take your allegiance to me as a sole ruler, you should be thankful.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who do you want to go? The poop?
Yeah.
They give their allegiance to the poop.
Yeah.
Think about these people.
Yeah.
They give their allegiance to the basset hound poop, who looks a little like a lizard now, and the guy's ready to die. He's so filthy. And you give your allegiance, but you won't give it to me. See, it's what you believe in. It's not even the allegiance thing with some people. It's that this guy's a liberal, and he's going to let them do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So if you want to be in the church, and you want to preserve Catholic brotherhood and the faith, you need to have a sole ruler.
Yeah.
That's why God rolls up the judges. For many years, the church has not had these kind of rulers. And everything was in chaos. Yes, individual people. I'm not saying if there's somebody right now in the world that didn't know about me, that had faith, can't be saved, they could. If there was somebody in Russia or in Siberia or somewhere else and they had the Catholic faith, fine. I'm not against that. That can happen. But once you find out about me and you look at these readings, and they would say, well, Richard, you got a group of people over in Siberia that they don't know about you. Fine, they don't know about them. They're Catholic. Tell them about me. Okay, so you tell them about me. And the people in Siberia get all my teachings, and they look at it. And let's say they agree with it. I say, well, now you got to be with me. Why do I got to be with you? Well, because I'm the one who put the teachings out there, and you need to have a ruler to make it consistent and enforce it. Don't you want it to be enforced? It's almost like, no, we want to have it, but we don't want to be under your authority. But do you have the capability to do it? Have you read everything? Don't you want to have single leadership? Now that you know about me, you want to start your own church out there. That's like a schism. It's going to cause conflicts between both of us. So then who's more qualified? You look at the knucklehead left here for a very bad reason. So what's he going to stand on? Where's his qualifications? And we know about that anyway. I mean, that's a clear-cut case. That's like you only got to think about it, you know? But that's what happens. See, now, okay, if I wasn't the sole ruler, that knucklehead is still here. And every other knucklehead that was in here. Or we'd be all in our separate little corners fighting with one another. There would be no one church. There would be no Catholic brotherhood. If I didn't claim, they say, Brandon, they say this. It's really weird when you look at it. You don't talk about, I got no jurisdiction. I can't bind anybody to anything. That's what they tell you. But they hear confessions. And you can't bind anybody to anything. I'm going to your church. And this is the kind of even when you get a good teaching, then they come up with, however. But my point is, you still need to have the sole ruler. Are you going to take a vow to 3-4 people? I vow to. That's what the schismatics do, and they break up into a million churches.
Yeah.
Each patriarch has equal power. It's like a democracy.
But look at the military. You know,
Military, remember in the movie, we're here to enforce democracy, not to practice it.
Yeah.
Those sailors out there are just boys. Boys who are training to do a terrible and unthinkable thing. And if that ever occurs, the only reassurance they'll have that they're doing the proper thing is going to derive from their unqualified belief in the unified chain of command. That means we don't question each other's motives in front of the crew. It means we don't undermine each other. It means in a missile drill, they hear your voice right after mine without hesitation. Do you agree with that policy, sailor?
Absolutely, sir.
We're here to preserve democracy, not to practice it.
Poor Gene Hackman, he died last week. Anyway, he's a good actor, but... And he wasn't as bad as the rest of the people. Anyway, that's another story. But he died right up here in Santa Fe, but... If you want to have... You'd have chaos and everybody's on their own in their little cubby holes, or you got a church full of people that are fighting. Basically, most of your churches, and you guys been there. You got SSP 10, your Tradcat churches, and nominal Catholic churches, Blanco. What was it? What were those churches? Yeah. Everybody, you'd have to believe in anything. Yeah. This guy will believe in this heresy. This guy will believe in that heresy. This woman was a feminist. This one was a stoic. This one was an alcoholic. And nobody rebuked him. This one was this one. This one was that one. And no one talked to one another if they were in opposites. Little groups would form, and everybody else would look at the other people. They weren't really friendly. There was no brotherhood. That's why they don't like to have the coffee clutches after Mass, because fights would break out, because then you'd start talking about the faith. And then the priest would forbid you talking about the faith. Not only does he not assert any authority to teach you the faith, and that's why he forbids you to talk about the faith. Because he's over here saying, I got no authority to settle a dispute anyway. So let's just go to Mass, have a basic catechism, and don't talk about the faith and the dogmas.
And
you
let anybody go up to the altar?
That's how bad it gets. So what I'm saying, even if you were just sole priest, a priest himself is the sole ruler of his church. He's the one that has to keep that church in order. He's the one that has to kick people out of that church. A regular priest, even if they do something wrong, if they're in heresy, he got to check people. If someone comes up to the altar, you don't know who that person is for Holy Communion, you say, see me after Mass.
Yep.
I can't give you Holy Communion. And they don't do it. That's what I'm telling you about. They make no judgments. They have no jurisdiction. They can't bind anybody to anything. That's the end result when nobody takes the bull by the horn. Go ahead.
What good would the witnesses be if they couldn't take authority and power?
Oh, and
the witness would be a worthless thing.
Right.
There'd be nothing binding by what they said.
And that's that's true. God's calling me to be the witness. You read the Bible. Okay? Why do you need two witnesses if you had a hierarchy? Mm-hmm. Why would you need people like me if you had a hierarchy? I'd be undermining the hierarchy. I never undermine the, I would never do that. If I would love to have a Catholic Pope, a true Pope, that's like... Pope's got to be Catholic. I would love to have a Catholic Pope, a Catholic Bishop. All of us would. And a Catholic priest, that's our problem. Even. We were looking for them. We were making excuses because we were looking at priests and we knew they weren't Catholic, but we were pretending they were Catholic. So we lied to ourselves. So why do you need two witnesses? I can stand on that authority too, but I won't ultimately invoke that now until God starts doing miracles. I'm not going to say somebody has to believe I'm one of the witnesses or you can't come in. I don't make that as, when God starts doing miracles and power, then you got to believe it. And that's going to happen. That will happen. And then you can have to believe it.
Yeah.
Or your ass is going to like burn on fire. It depends on how bad you are. Don't attack me. There's many kinds of people that leave here. And most of the people that left, they don't really open a full attack on me. They just go their way and, you know, they're not real vicious, but they're gone. They don't like me. They're angry at me. Other people leave and they make a full-blown attack like the Downtons did. The stupid stuff that he did is so dumb. And I haven't refuted. It's almost like... But anyway, so that's another issue, right? But the two witnesses does prove one thing. Here's two people, whoever they are, and I am one of them. They have authority from God. Okay, but I don't invoke that for people to come to my sole authority because people say, I don't believe that, fine. But when he does miracles, you will. I invoke it because of the work God has given me. Because you can look at the work God has given me, you can see that I'm teaching a full deposit of Catholic faith, and you can say, and I'm taking the bull by the horns, and you can say, you have a choice. You follow Ibrani, Or you follow Chicada, Sanborn,
yeah.
Kelly,
Father Jones,
Hugo, Father Jones. Follow them because they don't make, they don't, or diamonds, diamonds?
Yeah.
They don't even tell you what you need to believe in.
Yeah.
They don't care about, you want to follow them? You want to be under the earth? Oh, because they have no authority. You can go with them and they don't demand any obedience to their sole rulers. Well, that's precisely the problem.
Yeah.
What kind of confidence do they have in their own position? What kind of confidence does a bishop who's Catholic or a Catholic priest today, even if you know, he said he'd be contest, but he doesn't take the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
What kind of priest is that? Oh, I'm going to this, he's a Catholic priest, he said he'd be contest, he believes they're all, these guys are anti-popes. You can go to his church, but he doesn't assert any binding authority. Everything he teaches is an opinion. You don't have to believe it. He doesn't even tell you, most don't even have any type of thing you got to believe in anything.
Yeah.
So what kind of a priest is this? He's well, Lord wasn't a Woody. He's a fox.
Yeah, charlatan.
A charlatan. He's.
Many
says you care about his people.
I think most people are just rebellious, and they like the fact that nobody has to tell me what to do.
And you know the people that they do kick out of those churches, and then they assert their authority, and now they got authority, right? People like us.
Yep.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So if we go into the church and we start handing out professions of faith, and we tell people, you got to believe in salvation, dog, and hurts, and I can't pray with you, watch how fast that priest now asserts his sole authority.
Yeah.
Now that priest is going to go, I kick you out.
Yeah.
And I've been kicked out of many churches. And I left more than I was kicked out, though. They're even afraid to kick you out. It is kind of weird. It goes to show they don't even believe in authority. It is. This is crazy. It's true. I don't know if I ever was actually kicked out. I just left. But because they don't you say things. They don't even have the guts to kick you out. But they get angry at you. And they'll tell you. We don't talk about the faith, and you keep your mouth shut. Like the SS10 priest, you know. No, I imagine eventually maybe they'll kick you out. And then I can say, well, there he is. He's got sole authority. Yeah. Huh?
Jim.
Talking about my brother Jim.
His brother Jim got kicked out of one church. What was it, that Pius
X? Pius X, because he asked a question. I don't even remember what the question was. I think State of the Conscience.
Yeah. Well, they will, if you persist in something, they will kick you out. Well, here's my point. Okay. Why are you kicking me out? And at the same time, they will tell you, I have no authority and jurisdiction. I can't bind you. It's Epikaya. What I say, you do have jurisdiction. It's supply jurisdiction. It comes from the church through the papacy, even though it's vacant, and goes to you if you're Catholic, because it's an emergency situation. You have the right to teach and preach and rule, but they don't want to rule, and their teaching is not binding. So I got a Protestant.
Yeah.
So if you're going to invoke this and you're a Catholic priest, that's not the way you behave. You're behaving like a Protestant.
Yeah.
Like you said, they do. They let anybody go off to the altar rail. The SSB-10 Chapel in Eddystone, Pennsylvania. I went to one of their masses. John Maffei came in with a Protestant. And they both went up to the altar rail and received communion. I went up to the priest after. Somebody, went, I don't know if I did, but somebody, they went to, I think somebody told them, though, they went to the priest. You know, that guy, I wrote about it maybe. I don't know if he even got, because usually you can't even talk to the priests. You can't. You know, they go and they're gone, you know. They run from you when you start, especially they know if you're, they run from you. It's hard to talk to them. It's even hard to get a meeting with them. But anyway, I think somebody did approach him. And he says, he says, you know, you just gave communion to a Protestant. And he says, I have to give, as long as they make it to the altar rail, I have to give them Holy Communion. So Brother Ron drew a picture. And he had Satan kneeling at the altar rail with his horns, receiving Holy Communion, because he made it to the altar rail.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go to a church like that, you go to a church like that. The Church of Terra Davis, she's another one, has problems with my authority.
Yeah.
This witch bitch woman took on teaching on her own, thinks she's going to be the head of the church, acts like she's the head of the church, and she's all over the page. So confused, she goes into the Orthodox Church for a while and left the Catholic Church. Even not, she went to the Orthodox Schismatic Church and thought that was the church. Then she found out that was bad. Then she comes back again. She's all over the page. This lecture was given on 3/9/2025. And 3 days later, on 3/12/2025, Terra Davis sent out an email to people. It's on her Catholic Cottage website.
Yes, I am once again departing from Roman Catholicism, for there is no way it can be reconciled with the faith of the apostles. Several posts on this blog demonstrate that the Roman Catholic Church was forged upon a mountain of forged documents being codified with the Gregorian reforms in the late 11th century. I'm not going to go on, but here she is. She bounced back out again. So that's her position now. This verse comes to mind regarding her from Ecclesiasticus 33:5. The heart of a fool is as a wheel of a cart, and his thoughts are like a rolling axle tree, going from one position to another, confounded, confused, and never going to be on the rock of Peter. And this shows you how bad-willed she is, and she had the nerve to attack my authority and try to go against my teachings, which are the teachings of the true Catholic Church, the full deposit of faith.
And she's arrogant. And they have this kind of piety about them. They're... So, what is your thing? What is your... If somebody... My point is, if somebody cares about the faith and they really love the truth, they're going to say, what Ibrani's teaching is true. That's really what it's based upon. Yep. You could have somebody that doesn't believe what I'm teaching is true and they're heretics, and for that reason they don't come in. It's not because I'm a sole authority, maybe, just because they don't agree with what I'm teaching. Yeah. Still bad? We caught them out on where they're wrong. But guess what? That's how we caught them out. Because if I didn't have that there, we would not know that guy's a heretic. If I didn't demand you to take a profession of faith that covers all of these heresies and idolatries during the great apostasy, how do we have a litmus test as to who's Catholic and who's not? How do we judge these things? Try yourselves if you be of the faith, lest you be reprobates. We had feminist women in here. Unbelievable. She had her husband changing the baby's diaper right in front of her. I'm not against the husband changing the baby's diaper if he's alone, the wife is sick or something, but she was standing right over him, and he's changing. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. She was a feminist. She was a witch. Oh, really bad. I can tell you a million stories about her. So, she's gone. If I don't claim sole authority, she's not gone, because I'd have no right to kick her out or to tell her she doesn't belong, because I don't claim any jurisdiction or binding power. So you can always come back and say, Richard, that's just your opinion. And it's amazing, because I go back and reading this stuff, and it brings back what was happening with you. They're all like that. I can't bind you. I can't make, it's only my opinion. And so there's no leadership. There's no rulership. There's no way to separate. And a lot, basically, what they do, that's how they get away with it. They don't want to have a profession of faith, because it prevents them from, I don't want to know what you believe in.
Yeah.
You guys come to my church and keep your beliefs to yourself, because if I hear something heretical, matter of fact, we were like that in a way.
Yeah.
When we went to these churches and we wanted a Catholic priest, we wanted them so bad to be Catholic so we can have a mass, we ignored and we wouldn't ask him questions, because he said, if you ask Blanco questions, you might find out he's a heretic and we can't go to his mass. Yeah. So keep your mouth shut, listen to his lukewarm, stupid lectures, sermons, or even if they gave a good sermon or whatever, but don't ever ask him any questions about the faith. Because if we find out he's a heretic, I can't go to his mass. We all did that. That's the kind of churches we were going to. Blanco, most of his sermons were like, love God, love God, God loves you, love God, God love, love God. I got my mass! You know how, go ahead.
McManus, where Blanco would come do mass before we even built the chapel, would say it in his house. You know, I came into, I can't quite remember what it was that I had a problem with. Several things. Probably had to do with the Jews. And McManus goes, well, there's a lot of things that we don't agree with different priests that we go to and this and that. But we get the Mass.
We get the Mass. Yeah. The Mass.
That was it for me.
Yeah.
Whoa, I never went back to him at all, ever after that, you know.
Well, let's go on to the...
What
yeah.
are you going to accept?
Exactly. That's where, so let's go to the Blanco example, right? I did this myself. I made excuses. Brother Ron was really good and strengthened me out in some of that stuff. How long are you going to go to this guy with asking questions? But here's how God shoved it in my face, all right? Because you're here and you're going, if he teaches a heresy from the pulpit, I can't go. So, okay, he doesn't. Sometimes they're smart enough not to do that. So I said, but don't ask him no questions. If you find out he's a heretic, that's the end of the mass. So... Well, here's how God shoved it in my face. Michael Rios was visiting from Corpus Christi, and one of his attendants, Manuel, I forget his name, Spanish attendant, This guy's like, I don't know.
Mondo.
Mondo, yeah.
Mondo.
He's like a pagan. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't believe in anything. And he would help, Michael Reese was incapacitated, so we'd help him around. And so we're at Mass, they're in the back, and we're getting up to go for Holy Communion. And I'm looking, there's Mondo going up to the altar rail. I went, Mondo. He's a pagan. This is how bad I was. I'm going to say. So I get in front of him. He's right behind me. And I wanted to sit down, but I didn't. I didn't. See, God's grace pulled it away from me, but he shoved it in my face. I said, sit down, Richard. Don't go. You can't receive. You can't receive. Sit down. No. I can't. It's going to look weird. So I kneeled down, and he kneeled right next to me. Holy Communion to both of us. That was like a jab at me. That was it. When that happened, I went, that's it. That's when we put the profession of faith out. That's when we confronted Blanco. And see, no rulership, no leadership, yeah. Nobody claims authority. This is what happens in a church like that.
Yeah.
So then we put the POF in the back of the church. We told him, I can't go to your Mass anymore unless you demand people to believe in this. And he was saying Mass for Mel Gibson in California. He's Mel's priest. And so I told him, Father, you got people going up to communion that aren't even Catholic, like pagans. I says, you got to consent to this profession of faith and have people take it, or you can't give them communion, and you can't be in religious communion with them. And he went, he agreed to it, right? I said, well, I kind of too quick on it, but he did. I says, but you have to do that not only here, but in Mel's Chapel in California. Then he took a big gulp. Mel's Chapel? Yeah, you have to do it with him too. Not just here, because he was ready to do it for this chapel. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They'll go, what do you believe in this chapel? And I'll conform my belief to you because your people believe in that I all the time.
Yeah.
What do you believe in that chapel? When the priest goes to this chapel, now he believes in that.
Yeah.
To conform to the people.
Because
there's no rulership. There's no leadership. There's no authority. Nobody has authority. It's a free-for-all. A free-for-all when it comes to the Catholic faith. Anybody who loves the Catholic faith can allow that to happen and not finally say, I'm going to take the bull by the horns. I'm the boss. Shut your mouth and you do what I tell you or you get out of my church.
Yeah.
Because I know I got the faith and I'm enforcing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what good people are looking for.
Yeah.
All 10 of them. All 20 of them. All of the rest of the people aren't looking for that. They love that church where you're just sitting in there and nobody tells them what to do. They can believe whatever they want to believe.
Look at today. You got homos,
lesbians, witches, warlocks.
I mean,
it's great.
How embarrassing would that be? It's like you're a priest, right? You have someone else, a lay person, tell you, do you realize that this person is a straight pagan, and you don't know that as a priest? Like, how embarrassing would that be for a layman to come up to you and say, oh yeah, this guy is a straight pagan, like he licks to all this crap and shit, and you don't know that as a priest? Like,
good point.
You know?
And what,
how
you know,
embarrassing would that be?
Exactly. You know what, Brother Sal?
They have no shame.
Yeah, exactly. What does it say about him?
Yeah.
If he got, what's the proper reaction if he had a little bit of goodwill?
Yeah, it would be shameful.
Thank you.
You're
right. I shouldn't do that. I'm going to stop doing that.
Yeah.
But instead they ignore it and keep going. That means he doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's the priest. Think about this. You want to go? You want to have a church with no ruler, no ultimate authority? That's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get. Because he doesn't believe he can make judgments. He can't cast anybody out. And he has no shame. That you're right. A layman came up and you're not even allowed to tell them that they're violating dogmas. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear it. The minute you tell them that stuff, they get angry at you. If you persist on, most times I would leave because I'd say, I'm not staying here. But if I didn't leave, they would throw you out. Also, now you're making judgments against me while everybody else in there can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So, really, by claiming sole authority is the only logical, natural, Catholic thing to do when you know you have the faith, God's given it to me, you're teaching it, you're trying to keep the flock straight. How else are you going to have any type of Catholic communion, brother, unless somebody claims sole rulership?
Exactly.
They take the bull by the horns and people say, this guy keeps his church in order. Or do you want to go to these other people that don't even require anything from you? Or let's say you did have somebody, and I don't think anyone does, not even the Dimer brothers require anything. But if there was somebody out there who claimed sole rulership, maybe let's say there is, but he's a heretic, you don't go to him. But at least he's claiming sole rulership. I mean, they had some bishops that were trying to claim jurisdiction east and west of the Mississippi. I forget who they were. I can remember in a minute, but at least they were trying to solve the problem of jurisdiction and leadership. And it was, McKenna was under one of them, and he broke away. And it was...
Pepperonis.
No, not Pepperonis, but it was...
Musi.
No, no, who? Musi and somebody else. Musi, yeah. And so they tried to, at least what they tried to do was have sole rulership. So one was the boss east of the Mississippi, the other west. That was a good, but they were Tuckites, and they were monstrous heretics. They were correct for trying to assert authority, though. Who's the big? I get it. It's the guy we're talking about. Des Lauriers, I think, or one of them. But he made McKenna bishop. Des Lauriers from France. And McKenna and vowed obedience to Des Lauriers. But then all five of these bishops got together and something made a pact. Like I forget what it was, but McKenna disobeyed it and broke away from Des Lauriers, and it was a schism. He didn't obey the God that made him a bishop and created a whole other church. They were all heretics, though. So, but jurisdiction is, you have to claim sole rulership, of, at least if you're a Catholic priest and your church itself and anybody that comes in here. And you have, as a Catholic priest, and say you think you're the only Catholic priest in the world, and maybe you are, and you have this church, and you're telling people, you're binding people, you're ruling people, you got to listen, I'm the sole authority in this church. You got to also be the sole authority, check everyone else out. And say, oh, Father, we found another Catholic priest over here in Des Moines, Iowa, and he says he's Catholic. Oh, yeah? I want to know what he believes in. Get on the phone. I want to talk to him.
Good.
Yeah. At least you got to do something like that.
Now, they agreed they wouldn't consecrate any more bishops unless they all agreed.
That's what, that was it, yeah. Nick got it, yeah. They agreed, they said to stop them from consecrating bishops all over the place. All five had to agree if anyone was going to consecrate a new bishop, and McKenna broke that rule.
And, you know, the priests in our chapels, it was so small. You knew everybody. The priest comes there once a month. He should know everybody. So if a stranger shows up, why aren't you saying, I want to talk to you? You
yeah.
can't come up to the altar until I talk to you.
Yeah. All these churches are like that. Yeah. Believe me. Oh, then you got the Viganò guy. He broke away a little bit. But what does he do? He's a heretic. A horrible heretic. I don't know if he binds anybody to anything. He thinks JP2 was a saint. So the first thing is, when I claim the sole authority, which is absolutely necessary to preserve the Catholic faith, to preserve Catholic brotherhood, and to keep the bastards out of here, the heretics, and to help the brothers that are sinners so we can help them, and if they're obstinate, to kick them out, if they're not listening, to keep the camp pure. The whole basis is I brandy teaching the full deposit of the faith. Has he corrected himself when he found himself to be wrong? And does he have justice and mercy? Is he a mush cake? I don't think he's a mush cake.
Nah.
Huh? Well, see, mush cakes won't like me anyway. They don't like authority. So you look at that and you go, so then what's the problem of... Look, mafia guys vow allegiance to their godfathers. You know why? I'm going to tell you something. We're going to convert more mafia people, North Koreans, Chinese, zealous Muslims under imam, because they have authority. When a mafia guy gives his allegiance to the godfather, whoever they put, it's loyalty, 100% loyalty.
Yeah.
And they obey and they kiss his ring and they got all these. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everything they're doing is good, but that act of leadership, of loyalty, they understand there needs to be a ruler to have order. The North Koreans, they love, and that's what, oh, look, they're, anybody that they don't, anti-monarch, they was a dictator. Yeah, God is a dictator. He dictates. It's not that bad word. So you got people don't like monarchy. They don't like God's hierarchy. So then you can have them. So I don't care about them. So right away, by me claiming sole rulership of the Catholic Church, I weeded all those people out. Do you want to be in a church with those people? These mushy, democratic, republic, rebellious bastards that don't want to obey any single authority. So what happened to them? God punished them in their own families now. Their wives don't obey their husbands and their children don't obey their parents. That's the world you created. That's the world you have because you hate single man rule. You hate monarchy. You hate dictators. Now you're being dictated by your children. Children are dictating to their parents. Wives are dictating to their husbands.
When they die and go to hell, they'll have to be under a tyrant, Satan.
They're under a tyrant anyway. Everyone's got to serve somebody. Everything's turned upside down. People, even like that Tara Davis who had this problem, she wants to be in her own church. She wants the Popess. Maybe we're going to have a new Popess from her. She'll come out and say she's the Popess. We'll have to call her a Poopess. She's going to rule it. A rebellious bastard. Intelligent person, but stupid. Intelligent, but very stupid. And very full of pride.
Yeah.
And you say, how can you prove that? Just look at my teachings. Look what she's teaching. Look what I'm saying. Did I lie about the desecrations? Did I make it up?
Yeah.
That's why I love the desecration thing the most.
Yeah.
I it's a love-hate thing, you know? I love it because it shows how bad it is. Because people come out and say, I Brandy lied about J.P. Two didn't teach that. But the evidence is there anyway, the writing. Or these Renaissance anti-popes. He's lying about the Jupiter on the door of the Vatican. Raping Ganymede. Let's just take that one example. He lied about that. All right. Take a plane flight over to Rome, into Vatican City, and look at the door. All right. I mean, the Sistine Chapel, you think I made that up? That this is all like a deep conspiracy where everybody is coming out with this fake pictures of the Sistine Chapel with all these naked people all over the place? It doesn't really exist? Well, go over there. You can go. They let you go into the Sistine Chapel. If that's true, then we got some serious problems.
Yep.
And nobody wants to address that? I'm the only one who's addressing it properly. Other people will say, well, diamonds. Well, it's not nice. We don't agree with it. It's not nice. Like how not nice is it? I mean, there's not nice, and then there's not nice. You know what I mean? You can make a bad apple pie because you had bad apples, and it's not nice. Or you can make a nice apple pie that's nice. So what do you mean not nice? Is it like heretically not nice? Idolatrally? He said that about Alphonse de Liguori, who denied the salvation dogma, and he says, well, he erred. He erred. They do that too. I'm not going to get into a million things on this, but to avoid the H word, to use the word err. Yeah, he erred, but what kind of an error?
Yeah.
There's small errors, there's medium errors, and then there's big errors. That was a big one. And it's called heresy, knucklehead. You want to be under the diamonds? Go ahead. Look at what they're teaching. They don't even assert authority. But that's why they like it. Think about that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't assert no authority over people. He doesn't pass through. But he said, Alex told me that. Just the other day, Brother Alex is saying, I wanted to learn what I needed to do in believing to be Catholic. The dime, bros, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
What do I need to do? What do I need to believe in? I need to know to be taught how to live, how to believe, pastoral care. None of that is there. So what they tell you is the Council of Trent profession of faith is enough. That's enough? Not enough. You got all these other heresies that they didn't address.
Yeah.
Council of Trent itself had a lot of heresies in there.
Yeah.
But even though the profession has a lot of good stuff, it's not enough. It's like saying, I can stop with the Apostles' Creed and that's enough. Or the Nicene Creed. We got a lot more dogmas than that. And a lot more being died in the great apostasy. Who's doing it? I'm the only one that I know that's doing it. You know, that would be nice, though. I really think it would be nice, but God doesn't operate that way. And this is the way I thought for a while. There might be somebody in Russia or China, Siberia, teaching just what I'm teaching. Exactly like me. Another me teaching what I'm teaching over in Russia. Ivan Goodenough. And he's got the whole site. I would say, great. Let's come together. I would say, now that's what a miracle. And God said, that's not the way God operates. Because there's two churches. And God said, I only operate through one. My point is, go find out in the world someone else is teaching like I'm teaching. Everything. Go ahead. Like we tell the Protestants. You tell me. In your church, if you believe like the church did from the beginning of the church down till today, the year 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, all the way down, we have it. I have it. I got it. It's there. And by anybody of goodwill, think about this. If you really love people and love the faith, you're going to assert that authority. Yeah, some people assert authority arrogantly, and they are tyrants. There is such thing as a tyrant. A lot of these people that are lefty liberals and don't like dictators, when they get authority, they're tyrants. They go nuts. So you got some people that assert authority for ambition, for wrong reasons. I mean, if you try to come in and lay the claim on me of like money or of money power, well, look how I spend my money for the church, and you go over and look at my house.
No.
I just had my sore fixed. Yeah. I had to use like a portable toilet.
Yeah.
and I had to empty my sink water for like a year and a half because my sore thing was broken. And I just got that fixed last week from a Mexican guy who did me a favor. He did a good job. I didn't have to pay him as much. All I'm trying to say is, so the Thai thing, my brain is greedy, that's out the window.
Yeah.
Now you could come up with other stuff. He's ambitious in the sense that he's power hungry or something.
You give money to the Republican Party, you give money to your government, why can't you give it to the church?
And that's the other thing, on tithes, yeah. And that's the Thai thing. The Thai thing, when the church stopped demanding tithes, which is heretical because the church, you can dispense somebody from paying tithes, but you always have to have the tithe rule. Once they stopped demanding tithes as a matter of faith, I mean, a nice as firework, you've got to give them tithes. If you don't, you're in deep mortal sin, and I'm mortal sin if I don't demand it. So when they stopped demanding it, what did we get? Simony. Simony. I'm selling masses. I'm selling funerals. I'm selling baptisms under the guise of a gift. A gift that if it's not given, you don't get the Mass. What a scandal. And then they weren't, and so they're not getting the tithe money. Now they're depending on simony to get money. And later on, now they're getting money by crooked gangster means. It's like a gangster organization over there now. Some maybe going to deal with the Jews and the Freemasons who love them now, and they're getting their money that way. But what happened was, and they were really in trouble a lot of times with money. We said the priest would have to say five masses a day so he can get money for each mass to pay for. You got to see the stuff that went on with the simony, how embarrassingly disgusting it is. And they were selling holy things. They were. You see how important it is? So I go, the tithe. And you're right, if you can pay your government the tithe, why, it's in the Bible. And we've seen the example. If you pay the church the tithe, you get blessed sevenfold. God blesses you with material things and spiritual blessings for giving. And if you don't, it's the opposite.
Yeah. What other organization would you want to give your money to?
If you're a Catholic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give them anything. So, and the good rules about tithes. The good rule, you can have a greedy guy that wants to take on your gross income, but that's not the way it works. First, you take out all your expenses during the year, the way I covered in the book, and then you only take what your bottom line is for the tithe. But you're not taking money out parents' if you're helping your parents with money. Remember the Jews were doing that? They said you're not allowed to help your parents with money. Give it to us instead. That's what Jesus talked about. What's the word he used about that?
Carbona.
He called it carbona. I don't know, that's kind of weird. I don't know what carbona means. It sounds like some type of a chemical thing, like a carbona or something you wear. I'm wearing a carbona. But anyway, you like my carbona?
Yeah.
Or that guy's name in Esther, Carbona. What was his name?
Oh, yeah.
Carbona, anyway. But what was happening there? They were saying, instead of helping your parents because they need money, the priest was, you need to give that to us. No, that's bad. It's a scandal, you see. No, you help your parents. Deduct that from all your gross, and then what's left, you pay off of tithes. See? Anyway, that's another issue on tithes. But all thing on rulership and leadership, you got to ask yourself, where do you want to be? Do you want to have a solid foundation? Do you want to have a church that really, really, really weeds out the people and has Catholic brotherhood? Because you're not going to have it unless somebody takes the bull by the horns and asserts sole authority. If you don't want that, go out to these other churches or stay in your own place alone and think that you can, after you know that you have the chance to be here and you don't want to go there in spite of that, there's going to be no peace in your life. There's going to be no Catholic brotherhood. If you really love the faith and if you really did accept everything I'm teaching on the faith, you're going to want to be around brothers like us who teach the faith.
Yeah.
How many few people in the world that believe everything like we believe? It's just a few of us. And we have all that in common.
Yeah.
And when we talk about it, we're all one with that. The other people, if they're denying one or more or two dogmas on the POF, they're not one with us. If they don't hold the salvation dogma, I don't want them near me.
Good.
I don't want them to sit in the church with me.
Right.
I assert my authority.
Good.
My foot's going to go on your behind on the way out of the door.
Yeah.
Bang! Bang! Maybe I'll pop you in the head too on the way out. I'll give him a tacola. We learned about tacolas the other day. The Italians, you know what tacola is? You hit a guy in the back of the head. Not hard, though. You get in the back, you give him a bang. They call it tacola. Wake up. If he's bad, you give him a little bit of a heart attack. A little bit harder. Give him a talk a lot. Give him a talk a lot and start talking a lot. They call it the Takala torture. You're not allowed to do that anymore. No more Takalas. And you can't spank children anymore either, by the way. Don't spank your kids. Let them run around like a spoiled brat. That's what the world's full of, spoiled brat kids that never were punished properly by their parents, that never worked properly in a job, lazy, spoiled brat, stinking rat, bastard kids. That's the world you live in. You want to be protected from it, you need to be in a church that has order, that has rules, they're enforced by a sole ruler. And the point is, if I go bad, leave. You're not. It's not like we force you to stay under my authority. You're not forced. If I go bad, leave. But you're going to make sure that you have a real good reason for leaving or you're in deep shit. I mean, either you are or I am. And you better come up with a good reason. If your reason is, I don't like it, I bring, he tells people, do, he's too strict. Well, that's what happens. That's how you keep a place in order when you need to be strict. That's why it's important when people visit, they can see how I am. Look, they make like I'm. I take it as a compliment. I say, Arbrani's a barbarian. I don't disagree with it. I'm semi-civilized and semi-barbarian. You have to have barbarian in you. A ruler needs to have barbarian in him, or he's not going to protect his children. I'm not. But when they make it sound like people come in here and I'm like, you know, busting heads all over the place, that's so wrong. Anybody who knows me, but if you do mess around, your head is going to get busted. Yeah. Most people know, so they get out of here before the head gets busted. You know? He's angry. I think the head's going to come next. Yeah. I better get out now before. That's why you think brothers sound and brothers carry weapons around here. You wait one day, they're going to have to execute a lot of people. Take him out back into the mass grave, put him onto the non-Catholic property, put a bullet in his head, and cover him with dirt. Now, that's a church any goodwill person wants to belong to if they want law and order.
And they're real bad, we'll let the buzzards just eat them.
Oh, like Jezebel, right?
Yeah.
Jezebel. Yeah. So,
dig the hole first.
Make it dig the hole first.
It's like a no-brainer if you have the faith and you believe I am teaching the faith and you studied it and you agree with it, then the next step is it's a no-brainer. They're not going to go under his authority because up to this point in time, he's proved himself to correct himself when he's wrong. His teachings are correct. He's got the faith. He's got everything out there. He enforces it. He doesn't just teach it. I implement it. Somebody said I don't know how to implement it, right? You know why this somebody, what him implementation means to him? Don't judge anybody and don't punish anybody. You're too harsh. Let them stay. Let them all stay in here. I'd have a church full of obstinate, mortal, public sin and reprobates, and it will be nothing but chaos. Mm-hmm. It will be like your traditional chapels that we all went to. Mm-hmm. Was there any love of the brotherhood in those chapels? Let's talk about that. You'd have a group that's sitting over here. You'd have a group that's sitting over here. And you'd have your little groups. There was no brotherhood. There was no communion. There was no unity.
No.
Nothing. You just go to them, and then everybody leaves and goes home their own little way. That's the end of it. That's the kind of stuff they like, yeah.
Apparently none of them realize the dogma of association with a heretic.
Yeah, religious communion, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're going to be a heretic yourself just by sitting next to them.
Well, that one guy, what I told him, this guy Howie, I said, Howie, you know, you're in a church. I just found out these guys hold, they deny the salvation door, and you're going to church. He goes, well, I don't hold it. I said, yeah, you don't hold it, but you're going to church with them. You're praying with them. I says, and if you did your obligation to profess the faith, you'd have to speak up and tell them they're heretics. And you're not going to stay in that church too long. And so they were denying their obligation to profess the faith when they had to. That's another biggie. Keep your mouth shut. Remember that? Who's the guy? Stanley, a dog is a cat. Stanley, remember he came to our church and we weeded him out the first day? Then he says, well, he says, I learned. He says, I should. Yeah, he says, I should have kept my mouth shut on the Muslim thing.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, rulership, right? We dispensed of him fairly quickly, right? He came out and he said something about Muslims worship the true God. I went, what? Because I came out, I said, I brought it up. I said, yeah. I said, look, JP II of Vatican II says Muslims worship the true God. He says this. And Stanley goes, that's true, they worship the true God. It's the first time he went to our mass. Was an inquirer. He's sitting in the back. I took the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
I said, Stanley, is Jesus Christ God? Yes. Do the Muslims believe Jesus Christ is God? No. Do Muslims worship the true God? Yes. That's it, Stanley. You're out of here.
Out the window.
You're out. And he goes, I knew I shouldn't have said anything. He said, he went to the Angelicum in Rome, this guy.
Yeah.
He says, when I was in the Angelicum Rome, they always told you to keep your mouth shut. That's what he said.
Wow.
I knew I shouldn't have said, I'm glad you said something. Yeah. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That there is a perfect example of the churches these guys. They say, well, sooner or later you're going to run into the wrong guy. Sooner or later, he ran into the wrong church.
Yeah.
You know, sooner or later, you're going to go into the wrong church and you're going to really get it.
Yep.
You're going to get the full Catholic treatment. You're going to go, whoa, what happened there? I've gone to mass to all these different groups, Kelly's group, SSB5, SSB10, Society of St. Peter, Vatican II. I went to all these churches and nobody ever, I know. Huh. Yeah, well, you finally came into the Catholic Church. That's what you're going to get. And I told him, I said, Stanley, don't come back in here again until you come in and tell me Muslims do not worship the true God.
Yeah.
Then we'll start working on other points.
Yeah.
And he lived right up the block from me. That's the end of Stanley.
Yeah.
Should I finish the story on Stanley?
Yeah.
It was so funny. I tell it a lot of times. I tell it again because maybe 3 months, 4 months later, he lived up the block. I'm walking up my hill and doing my daily rosary walk, and I run into Stanley. Stanley, how you doing? Oh, how you doing? How you doing? And I said, Stanley, you know, truth is the truth. It doesn't change. You cannot change the truth. And there was a cat there, right by Stanley. I said, for instance, Stanley, that cat's a cat. It's not a dog. You know what he said? If somebody believes it's a dog, it's a dog. That's what he told me. I said, Stanley, but what is it?
Yeah.
Is it a cat or is it a dog? He goes, if they believe it's a dog, it's a dog. I went, you're done for. You're out of here. I'm serious. That's the stuff they thought. I should have said a fish.
Yeah.
Is that cat a fish?
Yeah.
Then I can put him under the water. Does he drown or does he swim?
Yeah.
I told the guy in North pulled that crap on me. And he's that same son. I said, so you're telling me if I have a gun in my hand and I point it to your head and you believe it's a bar of soap and I pull the trigger and I wash in your face or blow your brains out. That's what he said. Like, truth is what you think it is. Okay, so this is not a gun, according to you. It's a bar of soap. I pull the trigger. What happens to your brains?
I'll stand here. Let's test that thing.
I would have loved to have done it, too.
You're going to clean his noodles.
Oh, it's one of those things. It's one of those psychology. If you ever think you didn't go, you didn't have to go through it. That's just your cat, and you didn't have to go through it. But you know, like if a tree falls in a forest, does it really make a noise if you're not there? You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's crazy. All right. Okay, so we weeded Stanley out. I took the bull by the horns. I got the other Jamope out of there, the big guy that came from Society of Pius X, Father Gonzalez. He believed it was heresy to kiss the Quran and all that, but he wouldn't teach it to his flock. I made another one. And I said, Father, that's good. You believe it's heresy. Yeah, I do. Now you got to teach it to your flock or you're guilty. Oh, no. He wouldn't do that. I said, well, then you're hurt. You're, by sins of omission, by you not teaching that to your flock, and he wouldn't do it. He says, I got to go back. I got to leave now. I got to hear confessions. I said, you're a heretic. I'm yelling at him on the way out. He's a big guy. I mean, I don't care how big you are, you know. Maybe you beat me up, but I'm going to give it a shot, man. Bang. You know, he's running out to the car, and then Ron's, and then he goes, nobody talks to me like that, the priest. And he's, nobody talks to me. And Ron comes out of his RV and he goes, you're a fraud. He's yelling at him.
Yeah.
You're a fraud. You're a fraud. Get out of here.
I mean, that's insane, though. Like, that's insane to believe that, I mean, you believe that this is like an abomination what he did. You don't want to teach it to your flock. You don't want to.
What is that, Sal?
Hide it from your flock. That's insanity.
You know why Sal can detect that? Because he never went to college.
Yeah.
I don't know if you went to college.
I did.
So did I, but you can repent.
Yeah.
But it's funny, ain't it? That is weird, though, isn't it, Sal? I mean, like,
you
got poison in your house. It's killing your whole family. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. Go home and get poisoned. This is spiritual poison to your soul.
Yeah.
What kind of a man is this? These are the people that say, I grant you sole authority. But I'm going to tell you one thing. People who like and are looking for monarchy, and they're out there, they're going to like what I'm doing. They're going to want to come under somebody like me. Maybe they don't agree with anything I'm teaching right now, so they've got to struggle with some of my teachings, but they've got no problem with the sole authority thing. I had no problem with those two bishops when they declaimed sole authority from the east and west of the Mississippi. I even said, well, good, at least they're trying to assert some type of authority, whether it's just leaders, you know, or some sort. They were heretics, so it didn't matter, but... So, here's the thing, too, like I said before. What's the consequence? If I go bad, I then leave. Like any pope, if I become the next pope and I fall into some obstinate formal heresy and I don't repent or anything, then leave me. I'm Rich, you're an anti-pope. I'm leaving. So leave. What can you, so what? But where do you want to be? That's my question. Where do you want to go? Do you want to just have like a Catholic faith where you sit in your own place alone and there's no Catholic brotherhood? There's nobody there to help you, to share the faith with, to spread it, to evangelize? And do you realize that in these days that if I'm going to be the next pope, which I really believe is true, and I am the witness, if that is going to happen, there's nobody there to give me authority on earth? Nobody. They're all anti-popes. Where's it going to come from? It has to come to, like Moses, like the judges when they got their authority from God. Directly from God. And right now, God is... See, if I asserted authority and I had no works, I had no proof, who cares? Who's going to follow me? I don't got nothing to back it up. It's like in the beginning when I was doing all this work, I said, God, can't you do like a... make this a little easier, come out and it will be a lot easier. I won't have to do all the study and reading about JP2 and the Vatican II and all that. If God just said to me... Because I always pray. And God, instead of God speaking directly to me, he always spoke to me by giving me stuff to read and study. It would be like the next, I'd be praying for something, next day I open up, God, it's there. You guys laying it on my platter. And God, if God came to me and said in the beginning, before I did any of my study and my reading, like all these seers do from heaven, they got these messages, false seers. Richard, this is God. Yes, Lord. John Paul II is an apostate anti-pope. Go tell everybody. I had this message from God the other day, and something was lighting up over my house, so people get like a son, Mary appeared or something. I just heard from God the other day, and he wants me to tell everybody in the world, John Paul II is an apostate anti-pope, and you have to believe it. And they're going to go, why? Look in the back. Why? What did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? Well, I don't know. God just told me. You see? God's so great. I can't thank him enough. Because sometimes the work gets so overwhelming. And you say, God, can you step in on this one for me? And he goes, no. No. And I pray about it. And a book will come in the mail the very next day on the very topic I'm talking about. That somebody sends me a book or something, and it's there. Or I open up the page, and there it is. And God gives, study it, read it. You need to tell the people why. I mean, is it really just to accuse somebody of something without proof? You need that proof. And other people, when you do have proof against them, they say you don't have no proof. Like the guy just left, right? No proof. Got tons of proof on the guy, on what he did. But they always try to say that. I was never. But here we got the proof, and then you have to then sit back and decide. Look. What is this guy Vigano doing, right? He doesn't like the poop now. He knows this guy's a heretic, but he likes John Paul too. And he's a big shot now. He thinks he's like a ruler in a Vigano. But he doesn't take the bull by the horns neither. He's not. If you believe the poop is what he is, how could you still be submissive to him and not hold the sanctity of conscience position for number one? And then even if you did regarding him, you'd have to go back to John Paul too. So the whole thing on soul leadership, and let's put it this way. If you're looking for some type of soul leadership that's coming from a pope, which we normally had quite a while ago, or a putative pope even, you're not going to get it. They don't exist. So where's the authority going to come from? Yeah. So are you telling me there's never going to be a soul authority in the church? A good question, right? How could there be a soul authority in the church without a true pope? God has to intervene. It has to come from heaven, and there has to be signs. Jesus when he came, John the Baptist, when he was preaching with all authority, contrary to the Pharisees. And people went and listened to him, and not the Pharisees. And Jesus, when he came, he wasn't accepted by the Pharisees, and they went to him. And Moses, when he was called. So you right now, the faith is there, and that's enough. Like when Jesus said, if you don't believe in, believe in my words, yeah. Believe in my teachings. Am I teaching correctly? Am I right about what I'm saying? And so?
You have a big ship, the captain and crew dies, everybody, you know, just the passengers are left on the ship. It's just floating out in the ocean.
Exactly, that's what you have in the world today. Yeah. They like it too.
Yeah.
They don't want to be directed in any direction,
yeah.
But their own direction.
Yeah.
Which is really crazy too. The passengers all think they're steering the ship.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, they're working together.
Yeah, they're all the passengers. Yeah. That's when you go to the Traditional Chapel.
Yeah.
We're all steering the ship. We steer together. Yeah. We don't believe in the same things, but we're united because we're human beings.
Yeah.
You know those beans I always warn you people about?
Yeah.
Not pinto beans or navy beans, but human beans.
We're all children of God. Hey, we're less than 30 degrees.
We're human beings, and we're all. Rule it, we're all guiding the ship.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to go to the north. I want to go to the east.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Atlantic. I want to go to the Mediterranean. I want to go here. And they're all like...
We'll go to each one, one by one. Okay, guys.
Where am I?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah.
And I don't care. You know, some people don't even ask those questions.
Yeah.
You go, where am I? I don't care. Who am I? I don't care. I don't care where we're going. I don't care who I am. I don't care what I believe in. I don't care what you believe in.
Yeah.
I just want to have my fun.
Yeah.
Like I just want to enjoy this earth and do whatever I want to want.
Yeah.
You know, when you do what you want contrary to God's law, you're hurting someone else because they want to do what they want to do, which is something good. You're interfering with them. Adultery is a good example. The husband wants his wife to be faithful to him, right? So he commits adultery. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? So if your wife goes out and does it to you, oh, now you're angry. Oh, you're angry. So you see how horrible this is?
Mm-hmm.
Vicious infidelity?
Yeah.
You don't want it to happen to you, but you're doing it to your wife. And then when she does it to you, now you get angry. It's God's commandments, if you don't keep them, someone's always getting hurt. Someone's always getting hurt very bad. First, you're hurting yourself, and then you're hurting people around you. There's no peace in the community. And we're living in a world of people that are adulterers. They're homos, they're adulterers, they're committing all kinds of sins of immorality, and they're idolaters, and they're pagans, and they're heretics, and they love it. Nobody wants to be told the most biggest thing is that their family members are in hell that died. They idolize their family members above God. Their children, their husbands, their wives, they idolize them. That's one of the biggest things that they want to be told. So you're going to go to hell with them too. Go ahead. Brat little... Look at these people. I mean, if you have a bad kid, he's a bad kid. Don't make excuses for him. You can still love him, but you got to abhor him. You got to punish the kid. And you guys tell him, you're going to hell, son. If he's so real bad, you kick him out of the house. As I told him, about it. I said, the way God is, he can't let these people in heaven. Heaven would be hell. I only might be giving a lecture today. And no mass prayers even. We'll see, because this is big. When I do a big lecture, that's all that counts for the moment. Because, you know, here's another thing we're going to talk about, right? I'm a layman, and I got the sole authority. He's shaming all these people that are clerics. And he's saying, look, I'm saving my church through a layman.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in honor of all the laymen that came before me that were frustrated by these bastards.
Yeah.
By these bastards. And you guys all, and the mass is beautiful. We love it. That's our problem. We love it more than the faith. All these people that have all these masses and beautiful Gregorian chants, they don't have nothing when it comes to the faith. So God says, Richard, without the faith, and we know it, everything else is meaningless. So here we're feeding you the faith without the mass and the sacraments. And God's blessing us more than he blessed anybody, maybe it's at least in 1,000 years. And he's blessing us with all these graces that they're not getting. That they think, and they always tell you this, I got to go to mass all the time on the Lord's Day. If I don't, I'm going to fall away. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. When I was going to Mass all the time, I never gave up my mortal sins. Never. Only when you start getting to the faith first, you stop your mortal sins, and then you stay in a state of grace right now even. Like for 30 years or 35 years, I haven't committed one sexual sin of impurity. Not one. How's that possible? Well, this is God's grace. I'm not bragging about it. Maybe the devil can do that to some people and make them think you're holy. But all I'm saying is, what God's doing with us right here, look at these people. You're going to, you're not learning the faith. Go up to that priest and ask him what a dogma is, and he'll run out the back door. What kind of a priest is this? You talk about Jesus during Mass, and you don't even know who he is. You don't even care about him. You don't care when he's being blasphemed. You give communion to people that don't believe in him, and you say you're holy because you got a Mass, because you can sing a good Gregorian chant. Get lost. They got to submit to us when we come in here and bow down. And so many are infected by that. But, so the whole thing, I say to people with the soul authority issues, first you got to look at the faith. If you see that I'm teaching everything correctly, that no one else is teaching, that no one is coming close to teaching, did I bring any lie about the divine essence heresy? Did he lie about the two species in one species heresy in the Holy Eucharist? Did he lie about it's the dead Christ in the Holy Eucharist, not the living Christ? Did he lie about the desecrations? Are they there? Are they not there? Did he lie about them idolizing their philosophy and mythology? Did he lie about them denying the salvation dogma going back to the 16th century with Albert Piggy? That Piggy? The pig, whatever he did, Piggy? That was his name, Piggy. Albert Piggy.
Piglet.
Open up the book. Bad books on salvation. It's my salvation. I don't know. I give you the book. I give you the sources. Everyone who gave me a promoter. I give you the quotes. I give you the pages.
Yep.
Alphonse de Liguori? Do the diamonds say anything about it? They think he's a hero. They think Padre Pio's a hero and he denies the salvation dogma.
Yep.
They must have been, they're smoking Padre Pio, as Brother Sal says. They must be smoking that Padre Pio stuff. The stigmata. Well, anyway, goes on and on. So you look at that and you go, what problem do I have? And here you have somebody, you need somebody to weed out the people that are obstinately immoral. If I had a brother in here that's married and I found out he's committing adultery, he comes to me and it's private. I try to handle it privately. I say, you better stop it or I'm going to have to make this public and you're gone. I don't put up with that. All right? No priest should ever, nobody should put up with that. If I don't claim sole authority and leadership, I have no right to do it. I'd have no power. I can just advise him. I don't advise. If it's secret, you keep it secret. If he stops, no one needs to know about it. If he doesn't stop it, whoever he is, I tell him, you're out. Get out of here. You separate from your wife. And I'm not going to go over other issues that I talk about on divorce and remarriage and all that, but it's not acceptable. In all these churches, you've got people that are going in, they're homos. They're young kids that are fornicating, man and woman, they're not married. Adulteries. You went to these churches, I did.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear anything about sermons about it?
No.
The priest is probably playing around with little boys in the back room, which a lot of them were. So anyway, you need to have a soul ruler, and that's my lecture I told you I was going to give you within a month, so I gave it now. And there's many verses. We got examples. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, Ecclesiastes chapter 20, verse 8. That's the one you were thinking.
Yeah, Ecclesiastes chapter 20, verse 8. A man who take authority to himself unjustly shall be hated.
Right.
So a man could take authority to himself justly. Well, there's the point. Have I taken this authority justly or unjustly? If you believe I'm unjust, then you're the one who's unjust. Because I mean, after you look at all my teachings and you see what I'm teaching, what I've done, you're the one who's... Because it's the, you know, they call evil good and good evil. It all really does come down to the Catholic faith. It really does. Anybody that's been kicked out of here, I give them a lot of chance. I don't just kick people out of here and get out of here if they got problems. I work with them. I warn them. Sometimes I kept people in here too long. And it caused trouble in the camp, and I had to get rid of them. If you keep people, that's another problem. You keep people, we've seen. You brothers have seen when I kept people in here too long, it caused trouble amongst all of us. And I sinned by I sinned by allowing them to stay here too long. And when finally they got out, peace comes to the camp again. So.
Another very important thing that you did, canonizations are not infallible.
Big one, too, yeah.
Oh, it's huge.
Huge, yeah.
Where do you read that all?
No, the Dimer Brothers still believe it. It's their, I don't know what they believe now on that. That's, I don't know how they handle it.
How many things they've justified.
Well, they believe these guys are Pasadena Post, probably, but they don't want to go back even to the, they think Aquinas is great. They said Arminius said Aquinas is burning in hell. He'd like to drag him up, put his flesh on him, peel off his skin, and put vinegar on him. That's what Arminius said about Aquinas. Can you believe that? Yeah, I did say that. That was me. I said it. I agree. I said it. What's happening to now in hell is infinitely worse than that. He think he's getting like a shower compared to what he's suffering now. He said, can you have Richard bring me up again and peel my skin off with the vinegar? That ain't nothing compared to what I'm suffering now, you wimps. Diamond Brother wimps. They even kept thinking the heresy about unbaptized babies are not sinners. It's another one. They're not impious sinners. Okay, so take your chance. Take your choice. What are the Diamond Brothers? The two peacocks sitting on top of a mountain thinking they're the two witnesses. They're going to be the two big shots, and they're serving the Antichrist in the most deceptive way. Anybody who loves the truth doesn't stay with them. You, if you don't love the truth, they're like, they leave people out for us. I don't want you. You want to stay with him? Go. Go. But if you're goodwill, you're going to leave him and you're going to find out there's something wrong with this guy and you're going to end up with us. For other considerations regarding this topic, see my article, RJMI's Position as Sole Ruler of the Catholic Church.